the absence of light, the loss of direction, no frame of reference, the presence of fear and uncertainty, void. And then, a light. It starts as a flicker. It's not glaring for all to see, but it's a light nonetheless. Beautiful and mysterious, helping us to see, guiding us, warming us, comforting us. It is growing. It is shining brighter now. In one timeless moment, something of heaven is birthed through the tears of a teenage girl and the cry of a newborn baby king. All of heaven is perched at the edge of the sky, watching, waiting. God is sending the light of heaven into the dark of this world, to the young, to the old, to the weak, to the strong, to the lost, to the found. He is coming to us. He is walking with us. He is dying for us. He is living in us. Our unthinkable darkness is being shattered by unbearable light. And we gather to see, to view with fresh eyes again, the light that all the darkness in the world cannot ever extinguish. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen, friends. Jesus is the light. Whether it's Christmas Day or any other day, that's the message. It's the message of Christmas. It's the message of the church. It's the message of every Christian. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the light. And as you just saw, this is the reason for our fellowship. We fellowship to worship. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I come to you today celebrating that you are the light, that you have brought life and love and light into our lives. Father, I pray that as we celebrate Christmas and as we close out the book of Titus, that your message, that you came, that you lived, you died, and you rose again. Lord, let those truths define us again. Not just on this day, but every day. All of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, friends, I come to you today. It's Christmas Day. We have so much to celebrate. And at the same time, I come to you as we close out the book of Titus. Today, we will end our series entitled, Walk and Live the Truth. Walk in and live the truth. This has been the message of Titus. If you think about it, it's the message of Christmas. And last week, as we closed out verse 11, I said to you that the instructions, the teaching, the battlefield manual ended in verse 11. And yet the letter didn't end. We'll close out the letter today in a way that I pray will bless you. As you see the relationships that define the church, that win the spiritual warfare, and that bring glory to God, that you'll understand through this teaching, through the closing of the book of Titus, exactly why Christ came, that we would be the family of God, that we would bring God glory, celebrating his grace and distributing his gospel. And watch what happens today in the context of relationships. I pray that you'll see relationships for discipleship in a whole new way. Perhaps today getting a better understanding of not only why Christ came, not only why Christ went to the cross, not only why Christ rose again, but for the very glory of God, he has given us relationships in the context of discipleship for the glory of God. Let me just remind you, we've come through now all of the book of Titus, all three chapters, and we've seen God's word, we've seen God's work, which is discipleship, we've seen God's wisdom, we've seen God's worship, and we've seen God's witness, all coming to the point of helping us to understand how we bring God glory, how we acknowledge his grace, and how we win spiritual warfare. Well, let's continue today on this closing day in celebration and watch carefully as we close out this book of Titus for the relationships and the discipleship that all are here for you and me, and all are here to bring God's glory. Let's go to our text, and I want you to open up your Bible and come with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 12 through 15 as we close out the book. And I pray, build you up and build up our families. Again, this is the family of God. On this Christmas day, we celebrate as the family of God with our families, big and little, young and old, all colors, all shapes and sizes, like the quilt behind me. We look like God's eclectic quilt. That's his family. Let's go ahead and see this through the scriptures this morning. I want to ask you, if you would, to read with me Titus chapter 3, verse 12. God's word says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter here." Now, it's not obvious, but I promise you it's here. Look for the relationships. Look for the dynamics and the discipleship that's expressed here in this one verse. Now, note, this is going to be the family of God. This is the church. This is the continuation of the health and the building of the church. Now, to that end, John MacArthur says of this text, he says, "God's plan of salvation calls for strong churches that proclaim and live the reality of the transforming gospel so that it will become attractive to the lost. Part of the discipleship relationships is to build up the glory of God and to demonstrate his grace in such a way that those that don't know or love Christ yet will be drawn to him through our examples and through our relationships." Now, note here that in this one verse, you see that Paul, the sent one, is sending others. He's sending Artemas and Tychicus. Now, Artemas, we don't know anything about, but Tychicus, we met him in the book of Acts. He's a giant in the faith. He's one of Paul's closest comrades. He's proven himself over and over again to be a powerful disciple. Note this. You see, Paul is sending a couple of others to others who have already been sent, who are there, Titus, to build up and put in order that which remains. You see this flow of disciples making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. You see the one family of God continuing to bring the one faith of the gospel with one focus, the glory of God, through the growing of more glorifiers of God. You see here as well a sacrificial and a relational love. You know, it's not easy to go to Crete. Crete would not be an easy place to live. And yet, Paul, who sent Titus, is now sending a couple of replacements, potential replacements. And he's letting Titus know that. Look at the dynamics of the loving relationship. And Bridge family, I would say to you that if you'll look closely, you'll see these same dynamics in the love that relates us on Kent Island in Maryland, St. Johnsbury, Vermont, Kampala, Uganda, coming to southern and then later northern India through our relationships with Brother Sivi, with Jonathan now currently, right this moment, in Ethiopia. You see, this is what it looks like to be the family of God. Now, note this as well. Here you have somebody who's going to be coming to replace Titus. Think about this for a minute. That means that you have people who have been so well discipled that they're able to come in and each one carry the other's torch, each one being able to come and follow in the footsteps. This says an awful lot about the discipleship and the building up process. Now, there's another thing to note here as well that you'll see. There seems to be a senior and a junior relationship. Again, Tychicus is a giant in the faith, and Artemas is somebody that we're not at all familiar with. Note, it's like Paul to Titus, Paul to Timothy, Tychicus to Artemas, it appears. You have that mentoring, pouring in dynamic. And at the same time, even though Artemas appears to be the understudy or the disciplee of the discipler, Tychicus, Paul says, one of these two is going to come and take your place, Titus. That means that even Artemas appears to be capable of stepping into the shoes of Titus. Oh, the quality and the commitment to discipleship that's evidenced here. I would say this to you, it is nothing short of an Acts 1:8 commitment to discipleship. The same commitment that we promise, not only one another, but the world, that we will make disciples who make disciples who make disciples to the glory of God, so that locally, regionally, and globally, we as one family will be able to go as the Lord sends. He tells us how to equip, and then he gives the assignments. We simply are committed to being ready, be ready to say, yes, Lord, regardless of the assignment. Now, he does this in an amazing way, and it's Jesus, again, the light of the world, who has brought the light, the love, and the life of God into us, who equips us to send us. Let me show you in a way that I pray is user-friendly and speaks to the heart of all of us, young and old alike, to understand the plan of God. This is how he does it. This is the discipleship relationship that God has with us through Jesus Christ, empowered by his Spirit, and amongst us as one family. Watch this, and then we'll pick back up.
Jesus did big things. He gathered people together and taught them and fed them and met their needs in big ways. We want to do what Jesus did, so we also do big things like weekend services, kids club, community groups, and go trips. Jesus wanted people to know him and do the things he did, but he knew you could only learn so much standing in a crowd. So he also spent time with smaller groups of people, training them to be like him. He invested his life in making people who looked like him and could actually do what he did. Disciples who were mature, skilled in reaching seekers, growing up other believers, and literally changing the world. He called this method discipleship, and here's how it works. Imagine if you were offered a penny an hour for 30 days, or the option to double just one penny every day. Taking a penny every hour equals a lot of pennies pretty fast, but doubling a penny daily starts out really slowly. In 5 days, you've only got 16 cents. By day 10, you're still at just over $5. But around day 15, those numbers start going bonkers, and at the end of 30 days of doubling, you end up with nearly $5.5 million versus a measly $7.20. Now, apply that to investing in people. What if you took an entire year to focus on just one group of 6 friends? What if at the end of that year, they could walk with God like you do and could even help others like you help them? We call these groups of friends huddles. Then in year 2, you find a new group to help and they all do too. Now there are 6 people, not just one, who are changing lives like Jesus. If those 6 people each take on a group of 6, then in 1 year, 36 people are ready to take on their own groups of 6. Project forward 10 years and, well, the math just gets crazy. That's more disciples than would fit into the largest stadium in the world. That's the power of multiplication. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He gave us a mission. Invest in people who will go outside themselves to reach lost people and train them to be like him. When we learn to make disciples like Jesus, this city will flip and the world will change.
Amen. Amen. That's how discipleship works. There's a big picture understanding of what God is up to. Let's go to the next verse, verse 13, and let's see how this continues. Again, watch for the consistency in the dynamics of the discipleship relationships. God's word, do your best. Let me say that again. Do your best. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way and see to it that they lack nothing. Friends, see here again that you and I were called to do our best all the time, every time. Last week, we focused on this, and I showed you from Ephesians 5 and Colossians 4, 5, and another reference to the parable of the talents, that Jesus expects yours and my best all the time. We're to go all in all the time, all for the glory of God. Do your best. And see here again, we've got two more disciples, Zenas and Apollos. Now, we don't know much about Zenas, and we know an awful lot about Apollos. He's another giant in the faith. But notice the pattern here, as Jesus had said and demonstrated in the sending out of the disciples two by two. We have another pair, and we have what appears to be another senior and junior disciple. And yet both of them, they serve as one. See the supernatural unity, see the missional alignment, and see the intentional pouring in that happens in all of these relationships. I love the fact that you can see over and over and over again the simple truths of God's word. Now, in this case, it is likely Zenas and Apollos who have delivered the letter that we're reading to Titus, and they're about to be sent on to their next assignment. See to it that they lack nothing, Paul says. Note here again the sacrificial relationship in the discipleship dynamics. Somebody's going to sacrifice to see to it that the sent ones who are in faithful obedience are well equipped. How well equipped? So much so that they lack nothing. That's the instruction. Now, it's going to require sacrificial love. But again, I've told you many times, and the Bible is clear, this is in the DNA of Christian living. This is in the DNA of the church, that you and I are to be so committed and so much in love with God and in love with people that we recognize that what we have is not ours, it's God's. We are simply stewards. We are those that are managing his resources. Again, back to the parable of the talents. I wonder if you are in a place where you orchestrate your life in such a way that your love can be seen through your missional commitments, your missional giving, to make sure that those that are going lack nothing. Let me show you a short video that Samaritan's Purse put together to help link love and mission, giving and going, the understanding of what's really at the heart of this type of relationship to discipleship. Watch this, and then we'll pick back up in just a minute.
Love is like over a gillion stuff.
Helping someone even if you don't want to.
When your parents or your teachers don't tell you to.
Giving away stuff that you really, really like.
If they want the toys, I'll share.
Sale? Toys?
It's smiling and saying good things about them.
I should say, you have very nice clothes on.
I helped my mommy.
I played with another person on the playground when she didn't have anybody to play with.
When people are loving to me, I feel like I should do it to someone else.
Because Jesus did the same for us.
It's like your daughter says you will have them do to you.
That you should treat the other one just like I've been treated before. Not like bad, but the times I've been good treated.
Nobody really wants to play with somebody who's being mean.
Being kind is helping those in need.
Give them some food.
Get fish and bread and green beans and peas and apples.
I'll ask my mom and or dad,
can we go get food for this hungry person that I found?
Love is
hugging your mom and helping her wash the dishes.
I just get the water thing and just spray them.
People show me love by holding my hand. And they also give me a kiss around the head when I'm asleep very lightly.
there's people that don't get love in other places of the world.
You help them.
Just help people.
If we show people love, they can spread it all around the world.
Okay, come here, Mommy. I'll show her something. I'll show you something. Come here, Mommy.
Are those not beautiful children? Don't you love the simplicity of the truth? You know, again, it's not rocket science. It's redeemed living. It's loving the Lord, loving others, and the lost, like Jesus did, and putting our money where our mouth is, putting our lives where our lips say we go. Now, I have to tell you, this is Christmas Sunday. This is one of the Sundays where we make a special, unique collection for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering that goes directly to our international missionaries. And I say to you, again, you could not have a more divinely appointed alignment than for us to close out Titus chapter 3 and to hear this instruction that we, like Titus, are to see to it that those that are sent and who obey and go, that they lack nothing. That those of us that stay behind, we have a responsibility to equip and to empower those who go. Oh, I pray that you've got a passion to give to this once a year Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that we can be a part of what God is doing around the world. You know, as a church family, we're committed to this as a local body. We have family literally all over the world at this point. But that doesn't mean that we're done. Now, we're to be a part of what God is doing all over the world. I pray, again, that this will grab your heart and that you'll understand that it's in our commitment to the local and the regional and the global that we demonstrate our faithful commitment. We show the world a loving obedience to God's plan, that we want to be a part of what He's doing in every sense. Now, I want to show you, because sometimes we get into a place where people think it's either local ministry or it's global mission. And I want you to understand that, no, when we build disciples, every biblical disciple will have a local, a regional, and a global sensitivity. That's what Jesus said. He said, you're to go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, that's not only the ones far away. It starts right there at our kitchen table, and it goes all the way around the world. But for many, there's a question, well, so how does this happen? How do we do this? Let me show you another simple but powerful video that I pray will help to explain the dynamics of what happened. That, again, from old to young, we can all be a part of this. Watch this. I pray it will help to explain God's passion and our commitment to be, not just on Christmas, but every day, those people of God that will make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. This is the reason for our relationship. I've said to you before, it's our worship that defines our fellowship. I pray this will help to explain that even more. Watch this, and then we'll pick right back up.
The final words of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, are known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission includes the instruction for His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Keep in mind, if the disciples were charged with teaching every follower of Christ to obey all the same commands Jesus gave them, then this also includes the command to make more disciples. This is no small thing, because it means the business of all believers is discipleship. So what does discipleship look like? Well, if the old cliché, form follows function, has any merit, then we can answer the question by deciding whether the goal of discipleship is merely to pass on spiritual information, or whether it is to instruct others in hands-on application. Let's examine this further by looking at two different teachers and their very different teaching methods. This is Marge, and this is Tom. Marge teaches history, which means she mostly deals in information. The goal is for her students to know what she knows, to transfer Marge's knowledge about people, places, and events from her mind to her students. However, Tom teaches guitar, which requires him to teach not only information, but application. The goal isn't simply for his students to know what he knows about music, but to do what he does, to actually play music. If Tom only transfers a mere knowledge of music to his students, he might end up teaching them music appreciation, but he won't produce any actual musicians. He can't afford to merely lecture his students about music. A good guitar teacher and his students must actually practice together. Only through observation can Tom find opportunities to correct a student when she doesn't realize she's doing something wrong, or commend her when she doesn't realize she's doing something right. Like Marge's history students, Tom's music students certainly require good information, but they also require undivided attention. In this video, we will explore the actual process by which disciples are made. Though no formal process is outlined in Scripture, there is definitely a pattern. One of my own mentors explained it this way. Step 1, I do, you watch. Step 2, we do together. Step 3, you do, I watch. And finally, step 4, you disciple others. Keep in mind, the first three steps are a cycle, not a linear progression. So the process basically looks like 1, 2, 3, repeat, until we finally learn the discipline and move on to step 4. Let's explore each step. Step 1, I do, you watch. We start by watching the teacher do what he does. Often this produces our first big aha moment, the revelation of what we want to be versus what we are now. Occasionally, such a revelation causes us to reevaluate everything. Step 2, we do together. This is the day-to-day practice, the building up of our muscle memory. In regards to the spiritual life, it's how we begin to flesh out the revelation we received in step 1. Often that requires the systematic disassembly of our old paradigm and the rebuilding of a new one. Step 3, you do, I watch. Finally, we're ready to go it on our own, yet still under the protective eye of our mentor, so that when we fall, he can pick us back up and explain why we fell. Step 4, you disciple others. For those that go the distance, their reward is this: they become like their teacher.
Now, let me ask you, does that make sense? I pray that it does. You see, so often people think that we're just to be the history teachers and not the guitar teachers that that little video illustrates. Let me read to you verse 14, and I pray this will become clear, and you'll see why it's so important that we get this as a family and as individual Christians, that the church really gets this. Verse 14 says, "And let our people learn." And let our people learn. Learn what? History? No, learn to devote themselves to good works. You see, it's not the history of good works, it's the doing of good works. And it's not the occasional expression of good works, it's the devotion to good works. And it's not liking the concept, it's learning the commitment to be these people. He says, so as to help cases of urgent need and to oppose not being fruitful. So again, this is critically important. It's been at the heart of Titus. Live the truth. Be the church. Show the world that Jesus lives through the lives of his children called the church. That we love him, that we love one another, that we love the lost in such a way that it is peculiar, that we've learned from our King how to be devoted to good works. We've seen it, devoted to these things that are in accord with sound doctrine, to be the expression of Christ's likeness, and to do it as a family, to be the very family of God. He says, let our people learn. Let our family learn to be the family of God. That's what you just saw in that little simple video that says so much. He says, learn to devote themselves. Again, I asked you just a couple of weeks ago, do you understand what it is to be devoted? Are you devoted? You know, not a part-time player. You know, you're not a seasonal. You're not like the snowbirds that go down to Florida in the winter. You don't just show up every once in a while. Are you devoted to being the ambassador of Christ? And to these things, these good works, are you devoted to the great commission of Jesus the Christ? Will you go and make disciples? Will you be a witness that is truly Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered? Will you make disciples who make disciples who make disciples? This is at the heart of our relationship. It's all about discipleship. One person has said to be devoted to this, it's to have a lifestyle. I've said to many of you before, it's like asking a fish, how's the water? To a Christian, when you say, hey, so how's discipleship? There should be no distinction between being and the making of disciples. It's who we are. It's what is in our DNA. It's like the fish who swims in the water. The fish knows nothing of the water. It just is. That's the only way they know to live. And so it should be for every Christian, every single one of us. I want to show you another video, and I pray that this one too, this one will touch you in a way that again gets quite personal. Because to learn these things, to be these things, some of us have been called to be engaged international missionaries. Others have been called to be engaged as national missionaries. Still others have been called and engaged by God to be local missionaries. Now, some have the title and some have the job description, but all of us have the assignment. I want you to see from the eyes of those that have been around the world serving as international missionaries, the same missionaries that we support with our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I want you to see one of the most powerful videos I've seen in a long time. It's not a tearjerker. It's not going to pull on your heartstrings in an emotional way. But I pray that it will wrench your heart, that it will inspire you in the most beautiful way, as it did me. As you simply hear from some of those missionaries that have been all over the world, and listen to how they see the role of relationships. The same thing that God has called you and me to, wherever we live, all the time. Watch this, and I pray, as verse 14 says, that we will learn to be these devoted people that God will one day look down upon and say, well done, faithful servant, well done.
So what we want to do is just ask you about your time on the field.
Oh, I could tell stories upon stories.
Do I need to take the glasses off? Or?
All right.
We want the uncut version.
Okay.
I thought you were going to let me think about these questions before you ask them to me.
All right, you ready? First question. When you think back on your time overseas, what brings you joy?
It's the relationships, sharing of life, the sharing of who Jesus is. The greatest joy of my time overseas definitely is people.
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 It's the people.
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 The people that I got to meet.
The lives that were changed.
It's the people.
People.
It's definitely is people that flash before my eyes when I think about joy on the field.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you first went overseas that you know now?
You really are not in control.
I'm totally dependent on God.
My best efforts would never get it done.
Just been more genuine instead of more calculating.
How integral my kids could be in ministry in a developing country that was very close to the gospel.
How much the people become your family.
That if you're not passionate about reaching lostness where you are, it's not going to grow when you go to a foreign land.
To what degree did the Lottie Moon Christmas offering impact your work?
There is no way we could have gone where we went without Lottie Moon.
Tires were expensive to replace. I think he had the record in Kenya, changing 60 flats in 1 year.
Wheelchairs.
Textbooks.
Housing.
Surgery.
solar panels.
Honda 185 motorcycle. It was kids on the back of this thing, motocross all the way to church on Sunday.
Torn Achilles, a shoulder surgery. Without the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I would be a mess.
You know, I never would have gotten to the field if it wasn't for the local church.
More than just an offering.
Every penny that was given.
Crucial, vital.
Literacy work.
Education opportunities.
A refugee center.
Health care.
We put in almost 300 wells.
Trained church planters.
Strategic.
Lifeline.
Cooperative effort
for the gospel around the world.
How has serving overseas changed you?
I think no one could have told me when I moved overseas what it was like to be a minority.
More sensitive to the needs of people around me.
Rather than seeing a people group, I see people.
More attuned to God's leadership.
Ultimately confident in God.
In your opinion, what do you think church leaders could do to increase involvement overseas?
Marry the legacies of the past with the challenges of the future.
Model what it means. Go yourself.
People in the church will follow the example of their church leader.
We're giving them a vision for missions, not just as something that happens when you get on an airplane, but helping them become stronger disciples of Christ in their own community.
If we're involved in global work, it will impact our local work.
He has brought the nations here.
Refugees, migrant workers,
entrepreneurs looking for new ways to get into countries.
The opportunities really are limitless.
Last question. Being a missionary is blank.
Whew. Just being who you are as a Christian.
A calling?
It's something that Jesus has asked all of us to do.
It's making disciples. A challenge.
An exciting adventure.
It didn't look anything like I thought it was going to look.
Waking up every day and asking, where is the Father at work and what would he have me do?
To live out my life for Jesus in front of other people, no matter where I live.
There's nothing like it. Nothing.
Amen. Wow. What a powerful video. I pray that grabbed a hold of your heart. In some ways with information and with a lot of inspiration, I pray. You see, there are some brothers and sisters that have shown us how to address the closing of verse 14, where Paul tells Titus, you're to teach these folks and to inspire these folks so that their lives will not be unfruitful. Friends, I got to tell you, I fear for so many in the church who are not yet in Christ, whose lives are being demonstrations of unfruitful living. Oh, they may win the applause of the world, but for the most part, they're just running on that hamster wheel, day in and day out, over and over and over again, totally deceived by the enemy of their soul, having bought into the ways of the world, making absolutely zero progress, gaining no ground on peace or joy or love. But day after day, same old, without the joy, without the power of God in their lives. They're busy living unfruitful lives. If I'm talking to you right now, friend, I pray that on this Christmas day, at the close of Titus, that God will wake you up, that you would realize there's nothing in this world for you worth investing your life. Everything that is worthy of your investment is found in Christ and in his assignments for your life. Oh, that you would grab a hold of this truth. Let's look at verse 15. This is the last verse. All who are with me send greetings to you. Again, listen to the family. Listen to the power of relationships. All that are with me, not some of the ones with me. Paul says all. We are supernaturally unified as the family of God. All who are with me send greetings. We all send our love to you. We miss you. We love you. We're with you. Then he says, as for your part, Titus, greet those who love us in the faith. Remember, Paul has been talking to Titus about beware the liars. Know the lovers and the leaders and beware the liars. In fact, call them out. Some of them must be silenced because they're disrupting entire households. And if they fight you, they must be rebuked sharply. In fact, some of them, they claim to know the Lord, but by their lives and their actions, they deny him. They're absolutely worthless and useless for anything good. And if they continue to be divisive, after warning them once or twice, you're to have absolutely nothing to do with them. Now, you teach these things that are in accord with sound doctrine. You declare these things, Titus, and you do it, and I want you to do it with all of the authority that Jesus has given us. You exhort the ones who are trying, and you call out the ones that are lying. Now, for the ones that love us in the faith, give them a hug. Greet those that love us in the faith. And more than anything else, grace be with you. The grace of God be with you. Friends, this is the message of our family. This is the message of the family of God. Don't miss this. He uses the word all at the beginning of the verse and at the end of the verse. Again, it's all in all. It's knowing who God is, loving him, loving his people, and being his people. You see this? The verse ends with a sandwich. All. This is the all in all. This is what Paul is using. It's the exclamation mark. It's the send off. It's about love and grace. Love and grace. What wonderful bookends for the all in all. I wonder, do you know the power of his love and his grace? Will you carry the power and the promise of his love and his grace? Will you say thank you with faithful obedience? You see, any other thank you is a form of manipulation. True thanks to the Lord is expressed in faithful obedience. We do it individually and we do it as a family. This is the message of Titus. Live the truth. Say thank you with your lives. You know, thank you with your lips, it's fine. But thank you with your lives, that's faithful. That's what God wants. Let us be the people that say thank you with our lives. Let me show you again some of our missionaries that are doing exactly that. Watch this and then we'll close.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Forgiving.
Thank you for your giving.
To the Lottie Moon offering.
Toward Lottie Moon.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
But most importantly, due to your generosity, we've been able to share God's word with those around us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Because you gave, I'm able to access remote areas of Central Asia and explain the gospel with people God is already drawing to himself. With your help, we are bringing light to the dark places among unreached people groups.
Because of what you've given, it allows me to share this gospel with as many Central Asians as I can across London.
Your giving allows our organization to provide need for refugees and to give them hope.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering so that we can buy Bibles in Arabic that we use with our Discovery Bible study with non-believers.
Because of your generosity, African women are hearing stories from God's word while henna is being drawn on their hands and arms.
And because of your giving, the life changes that we see through faith in Jesus Christ, that happens because of your gifts.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and helping to provide this wonderful water filter here in Northern Thailand.
Your giving allows me to continue with my medical license here in Ghana, where I can not only do surgeries, but also the patients have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So thank you.
Because of your giving, I'm able to speak to these 1,000 kids every Wednesday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, First Baptist Church.
Thank you, Faith Promise Church.
Thank you, Cathedral Baptist Church.
Thank you for giving to Lottie Moon.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. What a wonderful expression. What a great way to close our service here on Christmas Sunday. What a great way to close our series, Walking Through the Book of Titus. Living the truth, saying thank you to Jesus our Lord. He is the light of the world, and he has given us himself that we too could be the lights of the world. Let us go forth being the people of God, taking what we've learned in Titus, that we would be those who will live being real, live being righteous, and live being ready, that we would show the world our commitment to God's word, that we would show the world our commitment to God's work, the making of disciples who make disciples who make disciples, that we'll show the world our commitment to expressing God's wisdom in all that we do, that we would show the world a commitment to our worship of God, even when it gets hard, that we would do hard things because we want to have an uncompromising worship. And ultimately, that we would be his witnesses, spirit-filled and spirit-empowered, that we would advance the truth to the glory of God as an expression of his grace, that others might know the gospel truth that could set them free, that we would love God, that we will love people, and that we will serve the world for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you now and I thank you on this Christmas day for the truths that define our relationships. Again, it is our worship that defines our fellowship. Lord, your truths are our commitments. Use us, we pray, to bring you glory. Draw us closer to you, closer to one another, and help us to find the persons of peace, those in whom you are already working. As we are fully committed to sowing and sharing the gospel with everybody, and then investing in those that you would have us to pour our lives into. Let us be a people of relationship for discipleship, in fellowship that's all about worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And amen.